Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the local enterprise office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about how a Sion Mills man, Niall Speak, is making great strides with his new business that is geared towards getting people to shop in a more sustainable way. But first, Donegal County Council is hosting a jobs fair in London to promote employment opportunities in the county. The jobs fair will take place on Thursday, the 16th of May, from 5 p.m. at the London Irish Centre in Camden, and will specifically target Donegal people living in London and who are looking to return home, or people who are interested in relocating to the northwest of Ireland. It's expected that more than a dozen companies will be in attendance. And the companies will be promoting jobs and career opportunities across several sectors, including tech, engineering, construction, maritime, and healthcare. More information is on the Donegal.ie website. Niall Speak founded his Eco Basket company after experiencing sustainable and waste-free shopping habits when he was living in Australia. After returning to Ireland, the Sion Mills native decided to explore matters further, and with the support of Strabane Enterprise Agency and Derry City and Strabane District Council's business team, things are very much up and running. The bulk of his business is online, and customers can order a range of products for delivery with compostable packaging. Well, the Eco Basket has a wide range of products, including spices, herbs, grains, toiletries, and eco-friendly products. And he has ambitions to be the leading zero-waste refill provider in Ireland. As well as grocery shoppers, the Eco Basket works with cafes, chefs, restaurants, and zero-waste stores across Ireland and the UK to offer wholesale orders. Well, to find out more about his business, I've been speaking to him, and I began by asking him to outline, in simple terms, what EcoBasket is.
Yeah, of course, Chris. Well, the EcoBasket was set up primarily with sustainability in mind. We're a provider of whole foods and eco products, very much focusing on zero waste elements and trying to be completely sustainable in everything that we do.
So before we go into that, into a little bit more detail, tell us a little bit about yourself. From Sion Mills, went to school locally, and then you went on a bit of an adventure which included quite a few years out of the country.
Yeah, Sion Mills man, born and bred, and you know, in the Strabane area, and very much is a home place. And lucky enough to go to school there, and obviously go to school in Strabane. It was quite a fantastic, it was a great childhood growing up without the social media and things like that. We have the River Mourne there as our playing ground, so it was quite unique.
And Niall, for perhaps some of our older listeners, many of them will recall your father, Jonathan Speak, one of the great League of Ireland goal scorers, Derry City, Ballymena, Dundalk, Finn Harps. He had many great days, and certainly as a youngster, you would have remembered a lot of those big matches.
Yeah, do you know what, I wouldn't change my childhood world. I think I was in a different football ground every week, you know, travelling on the buses, you know. It was just phenomenal, like, you know, going and watching football every week and soaking in the atmosphere and just the different grounds and meeting the people. And, you know, it was great. It really, even standing on a wet evening in Galway in a semi-final that... stand under umbrellas, and you know, the heartache of the FAI Cup in 1999. I mean, it was everything, like, you know. And I still love watching the football when I can, you know. And definitely, you know, I'm keeping my eye on Derry City and Finn Harps these days as well still.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the odd person, when you say you're Speak from Sion Mills, your dad's name has invariably come up.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You know, and I'll be honest with you, the house is still coming down with memorabilia. Obviously, we spoke briefly earlier. I mean, just unearthed a few cup final jerseys, you know, match worn, and just autographs and pictures. And, you know, my grandmother, my dad's mum before she passed away a few years back, we unearthed the scrapbooks that were in the house that we knew were there. We could just never find them. And just never before seen photos that we still have that she kept in old scrapbooks. And there's just bucket loads of stuff that when you look back on it, it's kind of a proud moment as well. But yeah, I suppose, you know, left Sion quite a while back now, you know, to kind of, obviously I met my now wife, obviously just around 15 years ago, and kind of just, you know, at the time everybody was kind of going one way, and that was immigration, and we kind of packed bags and went to Australia for a few years and traveled the world.
So what did you do career-wise in Australia?
Do you know what? Started off initially, obviously, being a football fan and football all my life. I worked for a very well-known sports company in Western Australia, which I absolutely loved. And like every Irish person over there, it was an Irish person that was the manager of the store and ended up giving me a job. And in my second year, I actually worked very much largely in tourism. We worked on a farm in the Margaret River region of Perth, which has around 220 wineries, and kind of looked after kangaroos and emus and everything as a petting farm. And we became really, really good friends with the people that own the farm. And this year again, they're coming here to Ireland in June again to visit again.
Now, did you ever think you would have your own business when you were out there in Australia? Like, what was the plan to set something up out there, or did you always think you'd come back?
You know what? There certainly was an inkling of possibly setting something up out there, but I suppose it's difficult because obviously first you have to acquire visas and things like that, and you know the cost of living is, I suppose, a lot more higher than it is back here. You know, so there was an inkling and there was certainly a lifestyle, but, you know, it was difficult when myself and my wife obviously were out there, and, you know, all your family's back here and everything. It is difficult, but I suppose there was always an ambition to start a business. There was just never a direction.
The business that you're in is very much environmentally friendly, sustainable, mm-hmm. A business in the right sector, the way things are going. But tell us, where was the seeds for this business sown? Was it out in Australia that you got the idea?
Yeah, I think it was. There was a shop we used to frequent quite often called Kukula's, which very much was a Whole Foods and Eco Goods supplier. And it was just amazing. It was the first time I'd ever came across something like that, you know, and kind of seeing the need for it, where they just put massive big sacks out of things and people can just buy as much as they want, and you can almost like smell the goods right down the street. It was just amazing to see. But also their kind of approach to sustainability, I mean, I loved kind of the fact that, you know, obviously it doesn't rain a lot in Western Australia, and the fact that they can utilize innovative ideas to kind of harness what they have, such as like solar and things like that. It was quite, you know, eye-opening to an extent that, you know, there's so much kind of going on and what can be brought home.
So you'd seen things out there, and was this being tossed around in your mind for a while? Because coming back home, a big decision. Was it always the intention to set something up, or were you going to come back and maybe look for some other employment?
Well, initially I did come home and obviously take up employment. You know, again, when you're coming home, you're kind of just trying to find your feet a wee bit. And I think it was more so during COVID that really kind of the idea really set, because we arrived home obviously before COVID, but it was during COVID that kind of, I don't know, there was kind of like a bit of burning ambition to kind of go, do you know what, you know, just look at something and what can be done. And then the ideas and the direction started to kind of take hold when we kind of had nothing kind of else to do, I suppose.
So in the initial stages, you thought, yes, we're going to give this a go. Who did you approach? Did you get support, or did you get help from agencies or councils, or
Obviously, when the time prevailed, I approached my local enterprise office, which was Strabane Enterprise Office or Strabane Enterprise Agency. And they were very, I suppose at the start, there was kind of a bit of development to do, but they took on the initial idea and we got a wee bit of funding to kind of do a wee bit of marketing and kind of see it grow. And then eventually we got on two programs through Derry City and Strabane District Council, which was the Digital Surge program, obviously for a project that I'm sure we'll have a word about. And then this year we got on the Go Succeed project, which was absolutely fantastic. We got a lot of press, you know, out of that, and got some funding to kind of develop more and get more, I suppose, computer systems and packaging systems so we can kind of speed up our service. Last year, obviously, the very, very start of the business was a massive year. I think we were the first ever Northwest business to get in the semi-finals of the Catalyst Innovation Awards, which, you know, for less than a year in business was phenomenal. And it's something that we definitely will probably go again for next year if we can.
So just tell us a little bit more about the business and when you started up. What was the idea to have a select range of products? Was it to have a shop and people coming in and filling up? Mm-hmm. Or what exactly was going on?
I suppose, yeah, the idea definitely would be a shop. But obviously at this moment in time, and certainly when it started, I mean, funds are hard to come by, and obviously retail can be quite expensive. So I suppose the initial idea was to set up online, and again, there was no real funds in place, and I have a bit of a knowledge on how to build websites, and I just started out watching YouTube videos on how to work a Shopify e-commerce site, built the whole site myself, 530 products, and we're adding within the next 2 weeks another 130 products. So that's where it initially started, and because simply, again, you know, we have to build up a bit of revenue before, and build a bit of a community before we can even, I suppose, go and look into retail.
Maybe you can give us a couple of examples of some of the products that you have and just how it all works online. If somebody comes on and they see a product, A, how do they order it? B, how is it more sustainable than maybe going through a traditional route?
We do some craft markets. So obviously at the craft markets, we have a whole retail setup. They're quite affordable, so people can come and obviously get as much as they want. With the online site, we generally have four set sizes of products. That's 125 grams, 250, 500 and 1 kilo. And the way it obviously is more sustainable is we use 100% compostable packaging for our products. So unlike conventional retailers, you might have certain sizes, but they unfortunately do come with plastic on them. We try and avoid plastic. We do have suppliers that we work with initially on our website as well, the likes of Minimal, who do more liquid-based products like conditioners and shampoos. And while they offer PET plastic in terms of their bottles, but what happens there is if somebody buys a product, we can obviously and fill it up again if they are at our craft markets. But ultimately as well, if that product is used, then we can post those containers back to Minimal and they will reuse the same container, so they never ever go to landfill or recycling.
Give us an idea of what you have from terms of food to everything up to.
Yeah, quite a large range, obviously, from your breakfast, grains, oats, rye, things like that. We have lots of different selections of nuts. The big one, of course, herbs and spices, different salts and peppers. We have reusable products such as like reusable cups and coffee mugs. We have eco-friendly deodorants from all small suppliers. We try and use Irish when we can as well, you know, and try and promote a lot of Irish brands that are sustainable and are eco-friendly. With teas, we have a number of different things, you know, and adding more constantly as they become available.
And are you sourcing these materials from existing suppliers? So take, say, spices, for example, are you bringing in a brand name and selling it on, or are you bringing in a large quantity and repackaging
it?
No,
so obviously to cut down on logistics and to keep with our sustainability ethos, we are going direct to suppliers. So our biggest selling spice at the moment is smoked paprika. We sell bundles of it, but we bring it in 25 kilo bags direct from the south of Spain.
And then when somebody orders it, it's been sent out to them in an environmentally friendly packaging.
Yeah, that's correct. So obviously we have a lot of trade customers who might buy, of course, a little bit more of the bulk. But generally, the normal consumer, they would buy a certain size of the product. We would package it, and that packaging is everything from the seal to the labels. Everything is 100% compostable. You can throw it in your compostable bin at home, and that'll take roughly about 6 weeks to go away.
Now, you'll need a little bit of room to hold all these products. Mm. So where do you store everything? Where's the headquarters?
Yeah, well, headquarters is Sion Mills. Obviously, we have a unit there. You know, it isn't open to the public at the moment, just because it's actually based at my home. We do have another unit in Carrick and Shannon, in County Leitrim, which we're very fond of as well, because it's easier for a lot of course, customers in the south. We have a lot of restaurants and different places we supply in Sligo and Bundoran and things like that. So we offer the two options, and again, with posting, if we have to post something to Europe, because we have European customers, we post it with On Post here in Carrick and Shannon, or if we have customers in the UK or Northern Ireland, that's usually Royal Mail that we would use.
And when you started up, was that prior to Brexit?
No, it was after Brexit, but Brexit, while it has posed a challenge for, I suppose, a lot of people, being in Northern Ireland, has really given us a golden ticket with the free trade to the UK and free trade to Ireland and Europe. It kind of even, we find ourselves now, shops that are maybe similar to yourself that offer zero waste or Whole Foods are coming to us looking for UK products because they physically can't get them no more because of the customs and the length of time it takes.
And when things started off, Niall, how did you get the word out there? How did you attract your first customers? Obviously, there's a certain amount of people you know, but you need to build up potential customers.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it largely was on social media to start with, and while we still are actively working at that, it was obviously largely social media and just doing what we can, the free stuff, you know, because obviously funds are, you know, weren't there, so we tried to look at, I suppose, different ways and how to promote the business and how to go about them. Even back to the old school way of just walking into places with a business card and saying, this is who we are, this is what we do, why don't you look at that?
Now, I'm looking at your website and some of the things that people can order online. Everything, as we've mentioned, from spices, there can be flour, rice, pastas. Mm-hmm. Then there's a category, everyday eating, nuts, cereals, tea and coffee. Tasty treats, snacks and chocolates. I suppose we better give them a mention. No doubt they are popular.
Yeah, that's one of our biggest sellers is actually vegan chocolate. We're very lucky that we have a great supplier in the UK who can supply us vegan white milk and dark chocolate. And that is a massive, massive seller for us.
And what way do you sell that? Is it by the kilo or is it in terms of
sizes?
Yeah,
so again, the vegan chocolate, anything from 125 grams to 1 kilo. We do have a lot of trade suppliers who might be bakers or, you know, they're into home cooking or any like confectionery stuff. And they would approach us and ask us for like maybe up to like 20 kilos because they have obviously on the rise of veganism and vegetarian. People are more scum for different products, so we would supply up to 20 kilos in most of them.
And I see you do products like deodorants and mm-hmm. hair care and face products,
yeah.
And no doubt it's important to you that these are all very eco-friendly.
Yeah, so obviously deodorant and stuff like that, we largely use a company called Scrubbers, a completely eco-friendly compostable packaging. And as we mentioned before, we would use minimal for hair care products and conditioners because once we use their product and when we have a container there, we can post it back to them and we largely will get that container back. They'll just wash it out and reuse the same container. So you know, we're trying to combat obviously recycling because obviously recycling is okay, but it's not really the answer to sustainability as well.
And I see another of the products that you do are clip-top storage jars. which are a great way, and for many people, you know, this is actually a step back to the past. They were very popular years ago, then they more or less disappeared, but they're making a comeback. Tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, I mean, look, what we try and do is as well, I mean, everybody goes to the shop and goes to the spice rack in the shop and they buy those little glass or plastic containers, you know, for whatever price they are of their different spices. But I could probably bet that everybody has loads of their cupboard absolutely full with them spices that they never use. But the clip-top jars are great because they are quite old school. They're quite nice to look at as well, and I use them myself in my own home. You can actually bulk buy spices and keep them in, and they're airtight, so they keep really, really well. And it's great too, you know, when you look, if you have, you know, a nice, should we say, a countertop that's maybe up above, and you see all of them in a row, and they're just really nice to look at. And obviously, again, you can, if you use a lot of different spices or herbs and stuff, you can get quite inventive, and they're easy to kind of get out of the jar as well, rather than shaking things and doing to get minimal out.
And is there a plan to have a shop or two? Could this be expanded and you could have a range of outlets?
Yeah, well, look, there definitely is plan. Look, obviously, retail is a tough one. We are planning a series of pop-up retail stores just for a few days here and there in the Northwest area. So that is in place. And the details, obviously, we'll post on our social media very soon. Retail, would love a retail unit, but obviously we have to bear in mind that it comes with insurance rates and rent, and largely what we try and do is we try and make sustainability affordable for everybody. So obviously, you know, markup in these things that we sell aren't great, but, you know, we're trying to offer it at an affordable price so that people do choose a more sustainable option rather than going for the convenience option whenever they're out doing their shopping.
So putting it into practical terms, we'll go back to the spices. So rather than somebody going to the supermarket and buying maybe a small 50-gram glass jar of parsley or whatever and doing it 6, 7, 8 times a year, by going online through yourself, you can order it a bigger, well, different types of amounts, and you're getting it in totally eco-friendly packaging. And because you can buy in bulk, that's part of the way that you can make it competitive as well.
Yeah, well, it's all about being competitive as well, because, I mean, we have to be competitive because we want people to buy, you know, more sustainably. And sometimes, in most cases, sustainability, sometimes people in people's heads automatically think that it's a lot more expensive. When if you're using something quite often for the year, I mean, and you're buying those little ones over and over and over again, it actually works out way, way more. And what you find is you're then contributing to waste, because most people will look in the cupboard and go, you know what, I don't need that. And then it's the waste involved then. With the likes of our trade customers, what they find is obviously they're buying in bulk, and what they're actually saving money because they're not doing any recycling. They're putting their bins out less, so they're not paying wastage costs. They are having their own jars in their restaurants or cafes or whatever. And they find that they're not just buying at a convenience. They're actually looking at more long term, and they have the products there, and they're saving money in all different ways.
And I suspect that in a lot of cases, it's really about developing things into a habit. And once it becomes a habit, it becomes the norm.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like it's like everything, you know. Once you kind of get into a bit of a routine, And, you know, and I mean, we do it ourselves here, like at our home. Like once you get into a routine of doing something, it's not a chore, or it's not, you know, something out of your way. It's like, you know what, I can do that because I enjoy doing that. I'm saving money. I'm also saving the planet. You know, I'm doing my little bit that can work for me.
I'm speaking with Niall Speak, founder of the Eco Basket, which is located in Zion Mills. Niall, you have big plans for the future, and some of them very ambitious, and some of the ideas are certainly going to be new to many people, and indeed, hopefully when they come to fruition, there will be a unique factor to them here in the Northwest. One of the things you're thinking about doing is starting a vertical farm in Zion Mills. Now, tell us a little bit more about it, and what exactly is a vertical farm?
Yeah, so a vertical farm is what's known as aeroponics. People might have seen maybe hydroponics before, where it's actually growing without soil. Aeroponics basically is the same thing, only in a vertical capacity, so we need actually less room. The benefit of aeroponics is we actually use 98% less water. There's no harmful pesticides or chemicals, and we grow just using nutrient water, and the seeds that are planted grow from coco coir, which is basically the outside of a coconut shell, which is ground down, so the plants get a lot more oxygen and they get a better growth yield.
So the idea would be to actually develop this inside mills, and no doubt it would create a lot of interest.
Yeah, I mean, we have been lucky enough. We approached the Northwest Regional College in Derry about the idea, and they were really on board with it. We were lucky to get an innovation voucher through InvestNI to develop a few prototypes. The first prototype was done, and that was all about just testing how plants would work and a lot more of the science element and getting the nutrients right. And the second prototype now has actually been completed this week. So the idea would be to obviously, once our prototypes and testing is finished and we get all the science elements right, that we would hopefully acquire some small piece of land that we could set up, I suppose, to my knowledge, the first ever vertical farm in the Northwest.
Now, when people talk of vertical farms, am I right in saying people would generally associate them with an urban area and maybe cities in the Far East where land is, space is at a premium, so you have to go up?
Yeah, and it's largely obviously where a lot of it is used. Places where, I suppose, water is at a really at a premium. Places like Saudi Arabia, Dubai, you know, places like that. Because essentially in a 20-foot space, you can grow a few tons of food per week in a 20-foot space. And the reason being is obviously we want to see it here for one, because obviously agriculture takes up quite a lot of space and it's the largest contributor to emissions on the planet. But also as well, you know, the access to healthy and locally grown food to communities, because what we find is people are choosing a very convenient option because it's generally a cheaper option. So we want to make really good, nutritious, locally sourced and healthier food affordable to people.
So by having your website and you selling the products, in turn you are going to be helping a number of other small businesses all over the country and here in the Northwest, because you're going to be bringing business to them as well.
Yeah, well that would be the hope, you know, and obviously the advantages of vertical farming is especially in a contained space, we're not relying on the weather. So we can kind of grow 365 days a year. We're not relying on, you know, obviously it's been a very bad year farming-wise for tillage farmers in the country, and it's been tough. So I suppose the good thing about aeroponics is with our, I suppose, our unit in basically inside a 20-foot container, we can grow all year round, and we can take it one more level, which we can actually install sensors on it. So we can set the climate to what we want to grow initially. So that is the next element of it, that if somebody says, can you grow pineapples in Sion Mills, we could say, yeah, we can. You know, so it is quite interesting.
Just back to the shopping model, do you see a scenario in the near future when people will go into all sorts of shops and bring in containers with them and fill up there on the spot and then go to the checkout with maybe bigger purchases than before, but more sustainable ones as well?
I would hope so. I mean, definitely I would hope so, because, you know, one, obviously for wastage, you know, so many of us, I mean, for me going into obviously a chain supermarket, if you look at what's happened in other parts of Europe, you know, France and the Netherlands and places like that, you go in and all the fruit and veg is there, and this was very noticeable in Australia as well when I lived there, is there's no packaging on anything. But it seems to be whenever it obviously comes in here, you're going in and you're buying something like a cucumber that's wrapped in plastic, and generally when you're eating it anyway, you have to peel it. So it kind of defeats the purpose. So I would hope that people do kind of look at more sustainable options and kind of go, you know what, I'm going to do that because it's better for me. Obviously, it's more affordable for me, but also it's me doing my little bit so that I can help my community and my planet.
So your packaging, 100% compostable packaging for your products. Was it hard to find somebody who could actually make it to the high spec that you obviously require?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it took months of searching, and we eventually found a company in the Netherlands who can do it, because we got loads and loads of different packaging. And obviously there is packaging out there that's biodegradable. Now, biodegradable is certainly probably a step forward, but biodegradable still biodegrades into the ground and it can be harmful for soil. So the main thing for us was trying to get something that is compostable, that doesn't harm the soil once it's broken down. So obviously we were eventually, thankfully, we sourced a company in the Netherlands that does 100% compostable packaging. It was actually made from cornstarch and plant material that can hold our products, and then it can be compostable and not harm the earth whenever it breaks down.
Now, in order to get the message out there, I know you've been doing a number of workshops, and you've also approached schools to I suppose, educate people.
Yeah, that's actually a free program for schools that I set up myself. It's basically how to be plastic free. We're actually in Sion Mills Primary School this week. Basically what we do, we go and take a group of students, usually about 30 or 40 students. We give them a workshop on how to be plastic free and how plastic affects the earth. And what we do is we give them free materials in terms of a reusable cotton tote, bamboo pencil, some Irish wildflower seed mixes, and some other little like grass-fed memo pads and stuff like that to encourage them to be more sustainable. Because I believe, obviously, as children, if they basically get obviously in these habits now of being more sustainable, then in later life they will be more sustainable as well. So it is a good program. It's completely free. Obviously, there's no expense to the schools or anything. We just want to do this to give back to the community and to educate the people on the effects of plastic on the earth.
And what types of social media have you used in order to develop the business and to get the word out there?
Yeah, so obviously Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram being the main ones. We do have a TikTok page, but we are working on that at the moment. We've got definitely a few ideas in the pipeline for gaining a new audience on TikTok, so that will be coming in. Hopefully in the next few weeks we've got a plan of action for that, so it should be a good one. Right now our focus is obviously just, you know, building the business and really, you know, working with, you know, our trade customers and working with our general customers as well to give the best service that we can and try and, you know, I suppose break the mold of what can be done. And I think as well we're offering products that maybe people have never seen before. Like we're bringing in a lot of different variations of spices and herbs that are new to a lot of people, but it's about the world's bounty. You know, there's so much out there that you won't get in your standard chain store or convenience store that we are bringing to the general public.
And on that point, fair to say that maybe some of your products would make a very good gift idea?
I mean, definitely. I mean, for anybody obviously we work with a number of different chefs as well who, you know, we're giving them certain products and they're going, what's that? And they're going, try it. And they're going, wow, this is amazing. So anybody that's really into cooking or maybe just generally into sustainability as well, who wants to be more sustainable conscious, we're open to everybody. And I think as well, you know, if somebody's unsure about something, because there might be people with certain, you know, allergies or things like that, they can always just email us, and we have a great team there who know every single product off by heart for anybody, you know, because we offer a lot of gluten-free options as well, which is, you know, people find hard to get and quite costly.
And I see you even have a mystery spice bag containing 500 gram spices and herbs. So that would be ideal for somebody who maybe doesn't dabble too much in being too experimental in their cooking at home.
Yeah, the mystery spike bags are quite, you know, there's obviously this, you know, mystery of what I'm going to get, and people love surprises. So what we try and do, we try and mix it up, you know, of things, you know, that are good sellers and maybe things that we've experimented with, we like. And what we try and do then is obviously we try and put little recipes in that you can use as well. So, you know, one of the big spices that maybe I'm giving it away, it might be in the mystery bag, is a special spice called gochugaru, which is a Korean red pepper spice, which is becoming our best ever seller, and it's quite an amazing thing to use. A lot of people still are fairly new to it, but it's a really, really interesting product.
So just going back to the website, if somebody logs onto it, they'll find the range of products. And where are your customers mainly from as of now?
At the moment, Northern Ireland, Ireland, the UK, Poland, Greece, and France as well. Definitely the UK market is massive for us at the minute. Again, we touch back on that Brexit issue. Because of the challenges of customs and logistics, we find ourselves in a very prominent position that we do have that free trade, so we're able to trade both ways without, you know, the lengthy delays and form filling.
And the shipping costs, you know, that's obviously a factor you have to take into account. Are they fairly steady, or have they been hit by increases?
Well, obviously, Royal Mail had a price increase there at the 1st of April, so it's not the biggest factor in the world. You know, look, obviously, as a business, you know, things go up and down all the time. But, you know, generally what we do is we offer a flat fee of £4.99 if you order under £50 or the euro equivalent. If you order over that, then of course shipping is free, no matter whether you're in Ireland or the UK. So I think we try and keep it competitive, but also as well we have to be reasonable that if it's a very small amount, the price for us to post it, you know, would probably be, you know, around that £4.99. So we obviously have to cover our costs in some way.
Now, I suppose anybody who has followed your Facebook page, you'd be known for posting up the odd, sometimes gimmicky, but always a green, thought-provoking item. And you had a picture not that long ago of a bus shelter with grass on the top of it, or greenery, and who knows what sort of wildlife there could be in there. It could be wildflowers, there could be bees, there could be anything. But, you know, it's lots of little ideas like this. When you put them all together, it makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense. I mean, the top of a bus shelter, I mean, it's not really used for much apart from keeping the rain off. But we see now, like, even it's very prominent, and have been lucky enough to travel a lot of Europe and see these ideas in different areas. And, you know, they do work. I mean, we're talking about small spaces and small biodiversity areas. The top of a bus stop is perfect. We should put a grass verge and put some wildflowers in, and it's perfect for the bees. And it kind of as well kind of enhances, you know, that kind of area of bus stops, because they can be very, should we say, very boring looking, and they're just mainly made of steel. But having that little bit of element onto it kind of takes a new direction to it. Mm-hmm.
Now, just back to prices, Niall, and sometimes people may well feel that the organic route or the more environmentally friendly route can mean a premium has to be paid in prices, but it's not always the case. And I know you've given examples, the likes of cornflakes, you know, rather than going and buying your typical brand every fortnight or so, you could buy a bigger amount in bulk from yourselves, and it can actually work out cheaper.
It does work out cheaper. I mean, it's definitely proven, because what we try and do is, obviously, because we buy in bulk, we try and give those savings on to the customer, because we do want to be sustainable. We also want to be competitive. I mean, we're not a chain supermarket. We're a local Irish store in our community. So we're never, ever going to compete with the big players in the market. But we just have to, I suppose, change, you know, the thought process of convenience. That convenience is, if you're in a supermarket and you see, I mean, I've been in retail for 16 years, so, you know, I know a large amount about it. But generally, people will go for convenience. That if your item that is in the supermarket that you don't even need is on sale, you'll generally just buy it. But how long will it sit in your cupboard for? So I suppose it's just changing the mentality and going, you know what, if we buy these cornflakes and we store them in a nice jar at home, we're actually going to save money, and we are going to use them, but we're going to save money as well.
And finally, Niall, you've spoken about your team. It's a small team at the moment, but you feel there is potential to grow, and you could employ a number of people, certainly here in the Northwest.
Yeah, and look, we are actively looking at that at the moment, certainly, and it's something that we have job roles designed. We're just kind of biding our time to roll them out. But I suppose our focus, you know, largely from, you know, my travels and seeing how we work things, you know, we really want to invest in staff, you know, and what I mean by that is we want the meaningful jobs that are not your, you know, just work, and, you know, we really want to invest in the staff and their mental health, their physical health, you know, just have a, create a really interesting, fun work environment that, that flows really, really well. And I think that's something that, you know, I really want to install, because I've done the 9-to-5 and, you know, for a long time, and it's tiring, and, you know, it's something that I didn't want. And thankfully, when I went on my travels, I've seen how things can change and how mentalities can change, and how if you invest in your staff, you'll get a lot more productivity. So that's really what I want to do.
Finally, the next Start Your Own Business program, being hosted by the local enterprise office in Donegal, will commence virtually on Tuesday, the 7th of May, over 8 sessions, 2 evenings per week, across 4 weeks. The program will assist those thinking of or at the early stages of setting up a business, helping them to understand what is required and to plan ahead. The cost is just €25, and more details are available on the local enterprise office website. Well, that's it for this episode of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Thanks for tuning in. Until the next time, goodbye.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the local enterprise office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.